are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
In the Christian faith, the concept of faith producing fruit is a life of a believer lies at the heart of authentic discipleship. Genuine faith rooted in the transformed heart naturally bears fruit in the form of love, compassion, and obedience to God's commands. As believers abide in Christ and allow His Spirit to work within them, they become increasingly conformed to His likeness, reflecting His character and values in their thoughts, words, and actions. In this exploration, we delve into the profound connection between faith and fruitfulness in the Christian life. And we are joined on the line by my Elder Jonathan Yamba. Mdala, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sisi. Fine. And how are you?
I am good. I hope that you are well.
Very, very well. The Lord is gracious unto us.
Amen. Mdala, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer for us?
Shall we? Our God and our loving Father in the heavens above, we bow before your throne of mercy in humility to thank you for the gift and blessing of life. You've offered us an opportunity, Lord, to know you. And every day, Lord, you grow sweeter and sweeter. And as we know you, O God, our lives become more worth a living. This morning, as we continue to delve into heavenly matters, our minds are limited in terms of capacity. Our language is not enough to describe what an experience it is. One songwriter says, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He himself taught me how to pray." So, Lord, we pray even as we continue to discuss, may the Spirit of heaven be our guide, like you promised in Isaiah, that you will hear the Spirit speak unto you and say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, what does it mean for faith to produce fruit in the life of a believer?
Very profound question. What does it mean for faith to produce fruit? So I will pick it up from Matthew 13, verse 18, all the way up to 23. Christ was trying to speak about how our faith must lead to fruitfulness from a perspective that the starting point is the relationship between the seed and the soil. So then we're going to have the fruit come out. So you see that in that parable, Christ spoke of four different kinds of soils. We see that the first soil he spoke of is a soil that is just so superficial. This is when we as Christians, we never take anything for granted. It is like grafting. We want to learn the fruit, but the soil is not prepared. And then he also, this is just lack of repentance. People are not remorseful. They blame their sin. For their sins, they blame somebody else. They cover it. They just don't want to repent. Okay? So that is having a superficial heart. And you are self-sufficient. If you have that attitude, then the fruit that is going to come out is also superficial. When the sun comes or when the wind blows, the house is going to collapse. Christ also spoke of another kind of heart. And this one, he said it's a shallow one.
Okay.
Never wanting to go a little deeper. You know, we are lukewarm. Wherever the wind blows, you will follow. Never holding on to something, no position per se. So Christ says this is also not good enough for us to bring forth fruit, because it is at any time the cares of this life will snatch our joys. When exposed to trouble, those are the people you see to say, "Well, I have the fruit of the Spirit. I have joy as the fruit of the Spirit, but I'm still working on patience." But when you look at it, it doesn't say the fruits. It speaks of the fruit, which means everything comes at once.
Yes.
You cannot pick. It's not like a fruit bar where you can pick salads, you pick this and you leave the other. No, sir.
Yeah.
Once you have the Spirit. And then he also speaks of a distracted heart.
Mm.
Okay? He says that In verse 22, somewhere there, he talks about on thorns and the, you know, the deceit of this world. These are the kinds of hearts where you cannot see the faith, you cannot see the fruitfulness. Because in fact, in verse 22, he says that when we will follow these things, okay? He says, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is one of you hear the word of God, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness thereof will choke the word of God, and it will prove unfruitful.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the ideal is in verse 23, where he is talking about the good soil. And when we have the good soil, you know to say we are able to yield and give to Christ. And he himself says that the yield thereof will be bountiful. It will bring a hundredfold.
Yeah.
Now, what is he talking about? A hundredfold. Okay. John 6:44, he tells us that, you know, when Christ is in our hearts, John 15 actually also, verse 1 all the way, Jesus is talking about him being the vine and us, you know, being able to be fruitful as long as we are with Christ. And fruitfulness is then going to come naturally. Now, while we are looking at the aspect of faith, our faith should not be, I don't know whether it should be something that we must sit and learn. But when we have Christ in our lives, he will teach us on how to love, because God is love. We struggle so much how to express love for one another. We even have to program it because we are dealing with it from a superficial point of view.
So, Dalamami, looking, you know, at this faith and fruitfulness, how does now the scriptures emphasize the connection between genuine faith and manifestation of spiritual fruit, such as love, you know, joy, peace, goodness, and so forth and so on and so forth? There, how does the scripture now emphasize the connection between those?
Galatians 5:22. Actually, when you go into the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5 is one of those profound chapters because it will tell from verse 1 all the way Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. I'm told this is the current taking. But you will see what he is writing. These are non-Jewish believers, and he is giving them so much, and he's talking about how we should, if we are to be in the flesh, we will not have anything. It will not profit. Okay? And then he then says Christ will be of no effect if we are going to continue to live in unrighteousness. He goes on to propound. He is talking about the issues of circumcision and uncircumcision. He as you get to somewhere 19, he's talking about, in fact, verse 16, he says, I say to you, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he is building a case. By the time we are getting to 19, he is then saying, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Okay. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, all these, he lists them that are on the other side. If I am not, well, you know, growing in grace, the Bible emphasizes to say it's not something that you can have a bit of this and a bit of that. You will find that when we are walking in the flesh, the things of the flesh will just show naturally. Okay? But then when we are in the spirit, verse 22 and 23 gives us a picture of how a fruitful heart looks like. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Why? Because, I mean, what law will condemn us?
Yeah.
Okay? So basically, scripture here is emphasizing that we need to experience this life rooted in Christ Jesus, because then we are going to be flourishing. Love will overflow. gentleness will overflow, peace will overflow, and love. If I could just stray in 1 second, I always believe that there's nothing like a good marriage. There's nothing like a peaceful marriage. There's nothing like a marriage where there's joy. No. What exists is two individuals who are peaceful.
Hey.
And when they come together, their home will be a peaceful home.
Mm.
Two individuals who are faithful, when they come together, their home will be a faithful home.
Mm.
So you don't come with, you have been all over running up and down. You don't even know what self-control is. And you expect when you enter marriage, all of a sudden self-control has come. No.
Mm.
So it is two individuals who have Christ in them. He has taught them self-control. When they come together, they will have a home which is a faithful home without anybody teaching them. So sorry, I strayed.
Yeah, Dala, you strayed very well. I think we must just stick to that one, or we must make another appointment. Another appointment, Dala, to speak about that one, because you just highlighted something that is very, very, very critical. Hey, because most of the times we strive running around. I want peace. I want joy. I want all this. I want this. I want this in my marriage. It's going to, no, it's you. It's not the person you're with. It's you. So that's it. So Dala, we're gonna make an appointment, ne? To our listeners,
right.
Dala is gonna come back. We're gonna speak to this one. So now back to the fruits there. So Dala, you highlighted the issues that we're finding there in the book of Galatians 5, right? Where we are hearing the fruits and etc. But now when we go to the Bible, I know the first person would be Jesus, but besides Jesus, who in the Bible, who is an example in the Bible, that individual whose life was characterized by the fruits of genuine faith there? And what can we learn from such a person?
Well, you're right. You caught me there. The first one is Jesus.
Yes, yes.
But in addition to what the scripture has revealed to us, there are some men who are flesh like us, who we can learn from. And this particular one I pick is Moses.
Okay.
Moses, the Bible, when we see Moses, the man was so full of rage and anger that with his bare hands, he killed a man.
Mm.
He killed a man. With his bare hand, you can imagine that level of anger. But when Moses meets with God, the transformation that happens in Moses is so, so immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
You just want God in your heart, because you know, sometimes we tell ourselves, Lord, today I don't want to lose it. Please be with me.
Yes.
But when you get home and you'll be like, Lord, I this flesh, Lord, please. But Moses, when we read of him in Numbers 12, verse 3, the Bible says Moses is the meekest man who ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
A man who was so full of anger, but now he's being described as the meekest man who ever lived. Why? Because God has, you know, brought in him the fruit of the Spirit, and this is meekness.
Mm.
So that is how transformative the power of God is, the Spirit of God is. Look at Job. He endured. Job endured trials and tribulations. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Abraham, waiting for a son. David, waiting to become king. That is the fruit of the Spirit, because most of us, the aspect of patience is not there. Look at the transformation that happened in Paul, for example.
Yes.
When he was Saul, the Bible says this man approved and participated in the stoning of Stephen. But now he is a different person who is saying, I'm crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing what faith can do?
Mm.
He says, I'm persuaded nothing can take me away from God. So from these lessons and these individuals, we can see that when a person has given themselves wholly to God, It's amazing what God can do to us. We don't even have to study to say, has this gone? Has this gone? You know, you have a to-do list and say, okay, I'm working on my anger. So I need to do anger lessons and how to control. No. When the Spirit takes over, He melts you. He breaks you, actually. He breaks you to an extent where you feel defeated all the time. It's just another level of operation. When somebody is speaking, ordinarily you would have reacted, but now you are quiet. You are listening more than you are talking. And as they finish to talk, when you begin to speak, what comes out of your mouth is wisdom, sponsored by Christ Himself, patience. And everybody just finds that so attractive and impactive. And they were like, no way. What's going on?
Yeah.
What has happened? And all you can say is thanks to Calvary. Because it's not like you can tell them and say, look, I graduated from a counseling course. And so rehab has done well. You know, there's not a moment where you're going to forget and you snap back into what you were. Of course, there is the process of growth, which is sanctification. But it's amazing how it happens. In fact, in Steps to Christ, Ellen White addresses that question very well. She says, you may not see when it does happen. But like you look at the tree, you will not see the leaves moving. When you see the leaves moving, you will know the direction of the wind. But you can't, when you stand here, you can't say where is the direction of the wind. So that is the experience that God takes us through. The transformation is so great and profound. As long as we allow Him in our hearts, you will find that the around us, the ambience, the peace, the joy, even amid things. My mom always tells me, you know what, Sonny? I'm tough tested. The Lord has taken me through many things. Nothing can shake me.
Yeah.
I know in whom I have believed. And I think that it doesn't come with age. It comes with you trusting in the Lord, and He does something with you. This is supposed to be a Christian's experience, all of us without exemption.
So, Mpundisi, as we are nearing the end, how does now abiding in Christ and cultivating intimacy with Him through prayer, scripture studying, fellowshipping with other believers contribute now to the growth and maturity of our spiritual fruit in a believer's life?
Yeah, so abiding in Christ, like I earlier alluded to it, Christ says, abide in me, and if we abide in Him or we remain in Him, we continue in Him. Now, to continue in Him means that in our conversations, in our thoughts, remember the Bible says that there is therefore no condemnation to him who is in Christ Jesus. So to abide in Him, we want to continue in living in Him, remaining to learn of Him. As a person who has been saved, to ensure our relationship with Him is a permanent relationship. Now you know, it does happen that some people always want to misunderstand what Scripture says because of the elements that you've heard people say, once saved, always saved.
Yes.
Because I'm saved now, I don't need anything else because I'm going to. But Christ is calling us to a life of meditation, to a life of reading His Word, to a life of exercising the faith. That is in calling others unto salvation. When we do so, we are giving ourselves, we are growing the agility, and we are remaining strong in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as a child of God, it's imperative to understand. In fact, let me read this from John 10, verse 28. It says, "And I give unto you eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." So Christ is saying that when we abide in Him, we, as John, 1 John chapter 2, also verse 5 to 6, also says that we remain in Him as we grow every day to learn of His love, as we grow this intimacy, the close relationship, talking to one another. Job somewhere says, acquaint yourself therefore with the Lord. So acquainting yourself with the Lord means on a daily basis, you make Christ your meditation, your study as his disciple. From his life, you are learning lessons using the picture of a branch and a vine. Mm. It means that you always have to understand what is vital in this union with me and Christ. How can we remain in an intimate relationship if we are not communicating, if we are not doing the same thing? You know, I want my wife always likes saying, sweetie, it's always good to know each other.
Yeah.
Because if you have a friend and I have friends who are non-Adventists.
Mm.
Sometimes we hang out. And while we are there catching up, talking about different things, investment and whatnot, and you find they will order what they are drinking, but they will always say, hey, forget about that one. He will drink what children drink.
Mm.
Give him this water. And I love it because while my friends and I will not disturb our relationship, they respect my position. And so how can we get to a point where this God loves, this the Lord does not love? When we get to a point where his will, our pleasure has become, then our intimacy is growing stronger. That way we will do things not being mechanical, but as a branch will naturally spring out of a stem. We will not have to struggle because Christ is a true vine. And when we are in him, when we are taught of him, do you remember what Deuteronomy says? Deuteronomy chapter 6, talking to children, it says, when they are taught of the Lord, great will be their peace.
Yeah.
So we are in this world that knows no peace, but all of a sudden you have this peace that surpasses human. Why? Because we rest on the we are resting and leaning ever on the everlasting arms of Jesus.
Mm.
We are learning of him. We are praying every day. We are studying. He is our study.
True.
He is lifted up in our lives. In fact, I would emphasize to say, if there's something that we need to learn every day, is that he must increase and we must decrease.
Mm.
He must increase in everything we say while we decrease. The idea is not to get a name out of him so that we are increasing together as he's going up. You're also going up. No, no, no.
Mm.
He must increase. He must be known. He must be seen. He must be loved while we decrease and diminish. The more we have this experience, the more you see how our lives will be impactful even to the people around us. So the proof of abiding in Christ Jesus, of somebody who is truly saved, is that that person will live a life of obedience. You will live a life away from habitual sins. You will live a life aware of the divine presence every day in your life. Then there is proof that you are abiding in Christ.
Mm. Abide in Christ. Mdala, please offer a word of prayer for us as we close.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to know you as our God. Because Father, while we can go to rehab and counselors to teach us on how to deal with our tempers, to deal with our lack of self-control, sometimes people struggling with habits, oh God, they will run to and fro, they will read new different articles, and so many things will be said. But Father, when we are in you, there is just, the appetite is lost. You just transform. The very same point where we fail is where you are going to make us strong. Lord, I pray there could be somebody struggling with their strong weakness. I pray strengthen them, that by them opening up to you, Lord, having a conversation daily with you, they will have an experience like no other, that they will give the most strongest argument for Christianity, and that is their transformed life. Father, this we cannot graft, just like we cannot get apples and put them on a mango tree. Yeah, if we used some glue and some tapes, we could do so and succeed. But as soon as the sun or just a bit of time, They will wither and everybody will see, and they will be exposed that truly these were not fruits. Sometimes, Lord, we have faked as Christians that we are loving until a time comes when we turn and we are alone and we are frowning and we are cursing and we are saying all these things. I ask and pray that, Lord, may you transform us to be genuine Christians, that ultimately, Lord, we will be like you. We've got a long way to go to be like you, Jesus, but I pray that you alone, may your life reflect in us. Thank you for this privilege you gave unto us, even in the middle of this day, to listen to you and just have a moment at your feet. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, thank you so much for coming through and blessing us. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. You too, Sisi. God bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.